Greetings, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this fifth Sunday of Lent is going to be taken from the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, and we're going to read from chapter 11. We're going to read verses 17 through 44, a longer part, there's no doubt about it, but believe it or not, because it is the Easter season, I actually cut it down. It would have been the whole chapter for sure. And I believe that even in the times that we're going through, it brings a lot of encouragement for us even today. I mean, obviously, all scripture is for encouragement, for reproof. There's no doubt about it, but just reading this, the hope that's found within it. The Gospel of John, chapter 11, beginning at verse 17, as I said, in Christ's name. Now when Jesus came, he had found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was near to Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary and consoled them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, and Mary remained seated in the house. And Martha said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know whatever you ask from God, God will give it you. Jesus said unto her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whosoever believeth in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. And when she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here, and he's calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. And when the Jews who were there with her were in the house consoling her, saw Mary quickly, rose quickly to go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to Jesus and was near him and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they told him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him? But some of them said, could not he who had opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb, and it was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said unto him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead for 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took the stone away. And Jesus lifted up his eyes, and he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know you always hear me. But I said this on the account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you are the one that sent me. And when he had said these things, he cried out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the man who had died came out, his hands and his feet bound by the linens, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said, unbind him and let him go. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that is before us. We ask by the power of the Holy Spirit that you would speak, that you would encourage us, that you would allow this word, Father, to give us hope and understanding, to realize who we are as the children of God. Sanctify us in the truth. We know your word is truth. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Just before this, we're given the account that Jesus is made aware that Lazarus is sick. And these individuals, these disciples that are with Jesus, and Jesus are basically staying away from Jerusalem because the people are seeking to kill him. And Jesus shares with the disciples that, you know, Lazarus, he's sick, but he's sleeping. And they turn around and they say to Jesus, well, it's good that he's asleep, because really they believe sleeping would bring healing. And finally, Jesus has to get very blunt with them, and he tells them, you know what, Lazarus is dead. That is a sobering thing to hear. When we turn around and we come to the understanding that someone has passed from this life, that no longer will we be able to have activity with them or to have any conversation with them. And so you can feel that this is like a hopeless moment. But then Jesus turns around and he makes a statement that we're going to go there and we're going to see him. And then the disciples, they're living in fear, and they say, and I'm using this in my own wordage, but they make a point of saying, you know, well then, you know, they're going to seek to hurt us. And Jesus makes the claim, this is necessary. So then you have another disciple that stands up and says, well then let's go die together. Let's go for this. Acting brave. But this goes to show how much at times human beings in their fallen nature fall prey to this world and to the understandings of the fallenness of this world. They were with Christ. And I'm not saying I'd be any different. Because at this time, obviously, they didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit for encouragement in their life. But this is a very difficult time. So they go, and they're only about, really, 2 miles away. So now Jesus could have got there at any time, and he could have, if you could say this, he could have spared this whole process. But this process is necessary. Jesus is using this, if we could say it, as a teaching moment to show us the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. As we turn around and we look in this world and we see what's going on in our lives, sometimes we become paralyzed with fear. And then when we finally got to make that move and we finally got to go to Walmart, go to Econo, go somewhere to get something, we say, well, we're going to go and die. Now, who are you with? And who is with you but Christ Jesus? See, we're not children of fear. We're children of hope. We're children of encouragement. And we walk every day victoriously in Christ. But sometimes we forget that because we allow the media to change our mind. We allow the newspapers, everything else. We allow the fears that we have inside to rule. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say that we should be foolish. I believe that we should, in reality, listen to what is being governed to us. But we don't have to live in fear of it. Even what is being governed to us in this day and age is to help preserve. Let's just go there, Jesus. Let's go help out these people and let's just die together. But now, Jesus, I don't have time to go through that whole thing. Basically, it was in the beginning of this chapter, around verse 14, Jesus told him, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. Let's go to him. And so Thomas is the one that turns around and says, well, let's go, that we may die with him. Is that our hope? Do we not know who we are as the children of God? So now, Jesus came and he found Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Why is this so important to us? Because actually, in the Jewish understanding, they believed that a soul would leave the body, say, after 3-4 days. Some say hovering over it. But the point of this is that this is being shared with us by John to understand that this was not a trick. Lazarus was truly dead. In reality, the fall had taken his life, because that's what brings death, is sin. So he had succumbed to the reality for each and every one of us in this earthly life. I've mentioned it before, and it's not to try to bring glory to myself. It's a comfort that actually came to me, that when we turn around and we go through an issue like cancer or something like that, I remember sitting there wondering, well, what will happen when I start going through chemo? What will happen when this stuff starts going on in my life? And I remember very plainly having this thought, I could be healed of this and fall off a roof next week. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. But if we are so afraid to die, we will never truly live. And that's not like a statement of now be a daredevil. But we have to live in this life. So he goes and he finds out that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. That is not for Jesus. That is for us, just as he said, I am glad that I was not there. See, I believe truly that Jesus could not have, and maybe this sounds bad, I don't know, maybe I'm going the wrong way, but he is such a loving and compassionate God, but yet fully human at this point for sure, that I had to stay away so that I could allow this to happen. I could be wrong on that. That might be the license that I'm taking. But he says, I'm glad that I wasn't there. Because in all honesty, our Christ desires so greatly to bring restoration. But we needed to go through this process. How many times have we gone through this with our children? With a family member? Well, we know we could come rushing in. And we could maybe fix a problem. But they would never learn. Jesus turns around and he says very plainly, you know what? He's dead. And I'm glad I wasn't there. So that this could be a moment where you could believe. Now let's go to him. And when Jesus gets there, he finds out that he is truly dead. That's for the reader. And then we're given the indication, you know, Bethany, it was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles off. It wouldn't have taken long to get there at all. And so many of the Jews had come, actually with Mary and Martha, and they were consoling them. They were mourning the loss of Lazarus. And actually, in this day and age, if you read about it in history, you could find they actually had professional mourners that would actually go around and mourn with people. And so there was probably a good-sized group there, and a lot of the relatives and friends that would be there. But then Martha must have heard word. Somebody must have come in and told her that Jesus was coming. And so she went out and she met him. But then we're told that Mary, she remained in the house. Maybe she didn't hear it yet. Maybe she was too deep in her mourning. We don't know. But the point of it is that one of them comes. Martha. And then she comes and she sees Christ. And she says, Lord, just what he had said before. I'm glad I wasn't there because, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You know? And that to me is very, very interesting because that brings to the understanding of the physical presence of Christ, especially being fully human. That they understood and knew where he was, if I could say it in this way, good things would happen. Where he was, there was protection and provision. And so she says very plainly, you know what? If you had been here, we could have been spared this heartache. But then she turns around. She says, but I understand who you are. She says, I understand very plainly that even now, whatever you ask, God the Father will give it to you. And really what she's doing here is she's confessing very straightforward that, you know what, you are sent of God. And whatever you have need of and whatever you ask for, he will provide it for. I don't think that she believes at this point that she's saying, hey, why don't you fix it? Because they're already past that point of fixing in everybody's mind. See, we have that same issue too. I have that same issue. We'll deal with circumstances in our life. We deal with circumstances and watching what's taking place around our life. And somehow we come to a point where we think this is beyond the point of return. We limit things. And I would say, especially with the hand of God, I limit things when it comes to the hand of God. That is my flesh. As we even talked the other week, it was Peter walking on the water. People do not walk on water. We know that. But Jesus did. As we make the statement, well, Jesus was the only one to walk on water. Absolutely false. Peter did. Because God is beyond our understanding. Jesus turns around and he says, your brother will rise again. I think that is so cool. He looks right at Martha and he says, your brother, he's going to rise again. She says, I know he will. There is faith in here. She's like, I know he will. The resurrection, the last day. He will rise again. And it's just so interesting because Jesus, I believe at this point, is talking quite literal at this point. Martha said to him, I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And then Jesus brings us to the key point here. Martha, without me, there is no resurrection. I am the resurrection. There is new life in Jesus Christ. And see, this is really something that we need to grasp in ourselves also. Whenever we're facing circumstances or difficulties, or whatever we may be doing in our life when we take on a new endeavor, where in reality does our sustenance come from? Where does our hope come from? Where is our life provided? It is in and through Jesus Christ. Jesus says very plainly in the Gospel of John, I have come to give life and give it what? Abundantly. That we will live this life in abundance. That we would be prospering in Jesus Christ. And we can enter into this world that we can see very plainly has so much difficulty. And we can live then more than conquerors in Christ Jesus who loved us. More than conquerors. Martha, I am the resurrection and life. Whoever believes in me, though he would die, yet he shall live. And this is the encouragement that each and every one of us have in the finished work of Jesus Christ. There is nothing that this earth can take from you. Because we are victorious in him. It is strange. Because we at times believe this. But do we truly believe it? And it takes the hand of God, it takes the encouragement of God, the Spirit of God, to allow us to understand this. Because we are drawn to people, and we love people. But I don't know how, aside from the hand of God, the Spirit of God, to get people to get to the point of understanding that heaven is not a consolation prize. It is the victory. Jesus, I know that you are, that my brother will be resurrected. I know that in the end he will. But Martha, do you realize there is no resurrection without me? Everything in reality in your life consists because of me. I am your hope. Heaven is not a consolation prize. He says, I am the resurrection and life. Whoever believes in me, though he would go through this earthly death, I'm going to add that on there. He says, yet he will continue to live because we are eternal beings. Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. What a hope that is. To me, that's amazing. Because whether we know it or not, even all of this preservation that we're doing here with this issue, and it's serious, sure, is because we want to live. People have actually spent immense amounts of money to make sure that they live longer and longer. We've even had those in the past that have sought for that fountain of youth, has invested great trips to find this kind of stuff. We desire to live because that is a natural thing for us, because we were created to be eternal beings in the very beginning. But then we understand that sin entered in, and by sin brings death. But yet here Jesus says very plainly, Martha and me, you will live forever. Too many times we've brought Christianity out into this world with our own dogma, with our own understandings, where we've put limitations on people and we've used it to browbeat people into submission. But Christianity of itself, in the finished work of Jesus Christ, is the ultimate faith that gives ultimate life. Everything that we seek for, to live, to truly live. Christianity is not about dogmas to put people into bondage. Has it been mistreated that way? Obviously. Christianity is not about really turning around and making people conform to a certain way. Has it been misused in that way? Absolutely. And so there's many that walk away. That walk away from the cross because they feel that in reality it has been misused. Upon that cross, Jesus the Christ, in this passion season, we recognize, was abused, misused. But we don't disregard him. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if you are desiring to live, if you are desiring to have the ultimate life in peace, it is found in and through him. Because we can find that so many other trails lead to empty dead ends. So many trails will bring us into bondage. So many trails in reality bring us to actually misery and a lack of hope. Where our true faith speaks such powerful words in this Easter season of saying very plainly, for God so loved the world. He loves you. That he gave his son to take your place, to take my place. Martha, if anyone believes in me, though they may go through this earthly death, they will never die. Do we believe it? Am I saying that we should never have the hurt or the pain of a loss upon this earth? No. That is a reality, that it will hurt and that there is loss. But can we also celebrate the fact that their pain, the day-to-day struggles that we still experience, are gone? That there is victory and that there is rejoicing and that they are secure in Jesus Christ? Do we have that hope? Do we have that encouragement? Martha, do you believe this? And I love the statement that she makes here in verse 27. She says, yes. Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. The same statement of faith. And because she's a woman, maybe we throw this away. Yeah, I said that. Because us pastors and all kinds of people will take and use the statement that Peter makes and will boldly stand up with it. But Martha makes the same statement under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Son. You are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. And she turns and she goes and calls her sister Mary from this point on, saying to her, probably whispering in her ear or whatever, private, hey, listen, the teacher's here, and he's calling for you. I believe that she received encouragement. That's why the statement of faith comes out so boldly. See, we can't make these statements without the power of the Spirit. God encourages us. And she boldly receives it. And she makes a great proclamation, so she needs her sister to be encouraged. So she goes in the house and says, get out there. Go see the one that brings you hope. and she heard it, she quickly rose up and she went. And now Jesus was still in the same place. Seems like he is just meandering there. And she went and met him. And the Jews, therefore, that were with Mary, consoling her, quickly got up and they followed her out, because she was supposing that she was going to mourn at the tomb, as oftentimes we will do. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was, she falls at his feet. Maybe in agony, but also in submission, I believe, because she calls him Lord. If you had been here, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. How many times do we make statements like that? But we are believers, empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He is here. He gives us victory. But when he turned around and he saw her weeping, and the Jews also coming and weeping, it says that he was actually deeply moved. And this actually means to a point of disgust, or could have a little bit of, I don't want to say the word anger. But look at what this has caused. The sin has disrupted the whole creation that God has made. And the deception of this death has become so powerful that people lose sight of the blessings of God. It was never meant to be. It says he was deeply moved in his spirit and he was greatly troubled, and he said, "Where have you laid him? What have you done with him?" And it almost seems like they're like a little bit joyful here, proud of the moment. "Lord, come and see." I understand there's a grieving process. I understand there's a mourning process that people go through, and I'm not trying to at all belittle that. But I remember that when I was working downstate for a while, I was walking through huge cemeteries there. And it seemed like day after day, certain tombs that were quite old, I'm talking many years old, and there was still gifts being left there, like on a weekly basis. And the gifts ranged from anywhere from money, and I think there's still some respect in America because it seemed like nobody touched it. Or there was flowers, obviously, we do that. Toy cars, toys, and beer. Often there'll be a beer on people's tombs. Because sometimes we have a tendency to believe that that person is still there. That's disheartening. Brothers and sisters in Christ, they are not there. They have gone, in reality, especially for the believers in Jesus Christ, they have gone to glory. They are secure in Christ. I don't know how the whole process takes place. I am not God. I don't have to have that answer. But we are assured by the blood of Christ that they are not there rotting in the ground. It's even when people turn around and they mean well, often. And I would not think that anyone means any harm by a statement like this, but it does. I don't ever say anything in the moment because it's not the proper time. But when someone loses a baby, they'll turn around and say, "Well, another angel in heaven." I understand what they're saying. I don't belittle the comfort they're trying to give. But it's much more than that. It's much more than an angel. It is a child of God that Christ has redeemed, that actually the scripture boldly speaks and says the angels sit in awe over what God has done for us. It's not just an angel. It is a child of God in that great white robe throng that stands before the throne, a number that no man could number. "Lord, come and see where we've laid him. Come and check it out." And it says Jesus wept. We often wonder, you know, and we always make this statement, verse 35 of the Gospel of John, chapter 11, shortest Bible verse in the world. But it's the most powerful. I believe truly that he is not weeping here because he misses Lazarus. Because he knows what he's going to do. He already told Martha what he's going to do. But what I believe strongly that he is moved by is the power of the deception of this earthly death that has robbed the joy from people. That they've lost that much hope in understanding that God will fulfill what he is committed to. The world is carried away. So the Jews said, see how he loved him? Wow. Look at how much he loved him. And then they start challenging, even some of them do. Well, what's wrong with him? He opened the eyes of the blind man in chapter 9. Oh, that wasn't in the words, but you know what I mean. He says, couldn't he also keep this man from dying? And I think it is not by chance that that is quoted. Because in the Gospel of John, chapter 9, the disciples turn around and they ask, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And what is Jesus' answer? Neither. But that the glory of God would be shown. I wonder how many were sitting on the sidelines. I wonder what Lazarus did to cause this. I wonder how God's getting him back. Neither. Jesus said very plainly, I'm glad I wasn't there so that you may believe. It is for the honor and glory of God that this would take place. And so then they turn around and say, well, could they have kept this man from dying? The answer is yes. Absolutely he could have. In fact, most doctors in this day and age will tell you it's easier to keep a man alive than it is to bring him back from the dead. Jesus was deeply moved again, and he came to the tomb, and it was a cave, and there was a stone that laid across of it, and that's what they would do. These big stones would kind of roll into a notch, and then they were sealed. And he turns around, and he says the most unthinkable words for human beings. It's, this is greater than walking on water. This is greater than understanding we will be provided for through this COVID. This is a very bold statement. He stands there. And he says, take that stone away. Take it away. But Martha turns around and she says, you realize by now he's decomposing? There is an odor. Yes, we're at a time limit, but that's okay. We got nowhere to go today. No laughing, Connie. He's been dead for 4 days. And Jesus turns around and he encourages her. He says, Martha, didn't I just share something with you? Didn't I just encourage you that if you believe, you see the glory of God? Remember the man that was born blind? In the Gospel of John, we just kind of quoted it a little bit ago. Same thing, that the glory of God would be shown. So they took the stone away. In other words, his words of encouragement allowed them to actually do the unthinkable. And they moved that stone away. And then Jesus turns around and he prays to his Father. He says, listen, I know you're always consistent. I had to encourage Martha because they aren't always consistent. Their focus isn't always that great. Remember when Peter got out of the water, he started looking around. But I know you are. And I think this is for us too. Because God knows what he's thinking. But really, what he said, don't think that I doubted God. I'm talking, don't think I said this for you. That you would be encouraged. I remind you of my promises so that you will be encouraged. Because my promise doesn't change. We don't go to church anymore, do we? I can go have church in the woods. I can go have church fishing. I can go have church. Who's encouraging you? We are the ones that need to be reminded. We are the ones that need to be encouraged. And yes, there has been some that have abused this situation of what we call church. But forgive them. Move forward. And build a relationship with God your Father. with Jesus Christ. To know that he is a victor over all of these issues upon this earth. That he is a victor upon all the issues in your life. And that you need to have that reminder. That you need to have that daily dose. I mean, for crying out loud, we sit there and watch Fox, CNN, and all these other things over this corona over and over and over. Next thing you know, the world is falling apart. Is it serious? I'm not trying to belittle that. But we need balance in our life. We need positive. We need encouragement. We need to be reminded. God is good. He loves us. He provides for us. He encourages us. And he is victorious over this. There's an old statement, victorious over hell, death, and the devil. Sometimes we don't want to mention that, but he is. Martha, just move this rock. And you know what, Lord? Father, I know that you hear me, but these guys need to hear it again. Encourage them. And so they turn around and they move that rock out of the way. I think this is amazing. This is not a big show. When human beings play with churches, when human beings do all kinds of things, we want to be a Benny Hinn and knock people down. We want to do all kinds of stuff. There's no show. He speaks. The thing you need to remember is when God speaks, things happen. And all he says, Lazarus, come on out. And he comes out. I want to know how he got up off of that slate tomb that they were laying in. I want to know how he got off there all bound up. We always picture these little cartoons of this. How did he get off of that to a standing position? By the power of God. Power of God, and he comes out, and it says that he had his grave clothes on because he was really dead, but he's alive now. Jesus says, take that stuff off him. He doesn't need it because he's not dead. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are not dead. We have hope. We have victory. We have earthly life today. May we live in it in boldness and encouragement. May we look to the finished work of Jesus Christ to give us a hope beyond this day. It is the Easter season. And we will hold services. We will in reality still speak those words, he is risen. He is risen indeed. But that is every day. Lazarus is a proof of that. Now, people say, well, the scripture says Jesus is the first of the resurrection. What about Lazarus? Yeah, Lazarus is going to die another day. Jesus is the first of the eternal resurrection. May we keep that in mind. Because he is our sacrifice. He is our gift from God. Take that stuff off him and let him go. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are no longer bound by death. In and through Jesus Christ, we are more than conquerors. We are victors. May we remember, may we live sensibly, may we live in pliance, but may we live boldly and encouraging others. For so many people need to hear it because they're afraid. May God be honored. May he be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise and we thank you for this day. Father, we praise and thank you that you give us the opportunity to proclaim your truth. And Father, we know that we deal with it with human hands and we deal with it with clay hands. But Father, we ask that that stuff would fall away, that your truth would be known. We ask that you would allow many individuals that are scared and hurting to feel love and encouragement and the passion and the peace of Christ. Father, we ask that you would just continually remind us each and every day, though we're separated by miles, we are connected by spirit. Now the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing hymn is I Know Who Holds Tomorrow, because we should remember that. And it's 518 in a hymnal, but I Know Who Holds Tomorrow.